Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When the red robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours.
Play against 10 men for over an hour but are unable to find a way to beat Chris Powell's Southend. We're asking this evening if listeners are still confident that the Addicts can get promotion this season. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening everybody, welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me here in the studio at the Valley as we get ready to look back at yesterday's 1-1 home draw with Southend United are Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, did you have a good weekend?
It was frustrating, wasn't it, yesterday?
Frustrating but, weekend.
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Got over it today, because how did Wales do in the rugby today? I didn't look.
They won yesterday.
Ah,
England won today, so.
Hey, there we go. Yeah. Joining the pair of us, someone who cares not for rugby, I dare say. Or does he? Terry Smith, how you doing?
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, am I over yesterday? Yes, probably just.
Yeah. It was a frustrating day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Here at the Valley.
Yeah, I mean, frustrating. All round, you know, and we were just talking off air, had Josh Parker's header not been brilliantly tipped around, we could be having a completely different conversation here today, couldn't we? So, fine lines.
Yeah, certainly. So, on tonight's show, we will look back at yesterday's 1-1 draw with Southend United. We're going to hear the highlights of the game with a special guest summariser in Jason Pearce, which was good to hear. So the highlights are slightly longer, actually, because he was genuinely quite interesting. I'm not saying that you and Stubbers aren't
No, 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 it's an accusation well deserved.
Yeah, but he was generally very interesting, Pearcey. So we'll hear what he had to say. Of course, we'll hear Terry's interview with the Charlton manager, Lee Bowyer, as well. We want to hear a lot from you guys this evening. We've got plenty of you who have already got involved, of course. You know, interesting team selection yesterday with the Mark Marshall playing up front, for example, and then when he was switched to the wing in the second half, Lee Bowyer came out after the game and was quite upset with the deliveries into the area from both Marshall and Tariq Fosu. He didn't hold back with his comments to the media after the game. So we want to know what you thought about the performance, those particular players, any other players who stood out for you, bad or good, and how you're feeling now about our promotion chances. Obviously, ever since Carl and Grant has gone and Lyle Taylor's been suspended, we've struggled in front of goals. So now, how are you feeling now that we're sort of settling now into the reality of life after Carl and Grant? Obviously, Lyle Taylor's still to come back, but you know, I mean, Jason Pearce himself said yesterday that the top two is now going to be very difficult to get to. So we want to know what you guys think about that as well. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say on tonight's show. Just before we hear the highlights, Terry, just get you a little bit closer to your microphone as well.
I've got a question. At what point do I have to swear?
Well, yeah, anyone who listened to Thursday's big match preview will know that Nathan Muller
wasn't sure what the timing, you know.
Let the team down in a big sense by swearing on air, which I'm sure the two professionals in front of me in the studio this evening shan't be doing.
Started his ban, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's on his free show ban now, Nathan. And I gave him a beating after as well. So Terry,
why did it?
I mean, when you play for an hour against 10 men, you expect to win the game.
Yeah, I guess so. But how many times have teams said that? And there's that old chestnut: it's harder to play against 10 men than 11 because they just sit back and make themselves harder to break down, which is all true. But you know, the reality is, and actually, when you consider the chances we created, although the final ball, as Lee Bowyer himself said, and I'm sure you'll hear later, just wasn't good enough regularly enough. Had it been, I mean, had the quality of the pass and the crosses been the same as the one that we actually did score from, then again we might be sitting here talking about a different result and future. But it wasn't. We were very frustrated in that final third. And is that because, you know, our top two marksmen weren't there? Almost certainly, yes.
Yeah, it's never easy to play without your two best strikers. In fairness, that's not something as Charlton fans we're that used to having two best strikers.
That's true,
it's normally just never easy to play without your one best striker. But you know, we're missing both of them now. One of them permanently. At least Lyle Taylor will be back next week. I mean, it could, if it wasn't for two amazing saves from the goalkeeper, Tom. I mean, this would be a very different show this evening, and that's why I guess it's important not to get too carried away with, you know, doom and gloom, because we have struggled to beat a 10-man team, because we were dominant in that second half up until injury time, really, when Southend had a couple of half chances. And it could have been a very, very different story if it wasn't for Nathan Bishop in the Southend goal.
Definitely. And I left yesterday's game frustrated that we hadn't taken all 3 points. I'm sure a lot of people did. But reflecting on it today, you know Chris Powell, and you know what he's capable of doing, particularly when a team goes down to 10 men. He likes that defensive formation. He likes to try and hit teams on the break. So when he's got 10 men, that kind of suits him almost. And yes, you would hope that a team up in the top six would be able to break them down. And we did get through a couple of times and have those two chances, which, yeah, it was only a magnificent couple of saves that stopped us going ahead. But as you've both said, you know, we're missing our top striker. We did look slightly off it in the final third yesterday, and a point's not the worst result in the world. It is frustrating that we didn't get that win, but I'm not too downbeat looking back, because I thought a lot of the performance was good. It was just we got to the edge of the box and didn't really make the right decision enough times. But with Lyle coming back next week, and you'd assume Mark Marshall probably not playing up there, I would hope things would be different against Blackpool.
Right, let's have a listen to the highlights, starring the special guest summariser, the club captain, Jason Pearce, and also, of course, Greg Stubley, and our very own Terry Smith.
Flick on there from the throw-in, and Southend are attacking down the right-hand side with Cartley's ball into the box, sends Cox a bit wide, and then Solly gets the block in, but it's still on the edge of the area, and a snapshot by Mantum, the captain, goes high into the back of the covered end, but early warning signs for chance to go for his rebound. He does get something, knocks it to Ben Reeves, who further right is Marshall into the penalty area. On his right, can he go past his man? He does, get to the byline. Oh, and it's squeezed across and kept out with the feet of Bishop. Nobody immediately in front of him, so he's going to have to go back to Naby Sarr on halfway. Inside it comes to Fosu, who's come short. Fosu cuts inside, good finds play. Reeves in space.
Really nice.
Reeves has got Solly out here on the right. Solly, corner of the penalty area. Lovely ball to find him. Touches it, back across. Lovely shot from Fosu, just over the bar.
Great
and
play.
Charlton look really threatening going forward. Did well to hold him up, but it's right to Kightley cuts back inside on his left, thinks about a shot, takes it, looking for the top corner, and that wasn't a million miles away.
To head it clear, but it drops to Kightley. His ball up to Humphreys, goes down under pressure. Referee thought about it, but didn't give it, and then Reeves has just given the ball back to Mentum. Back to Humphreys, thinks about a shot. Billick trying to block that, and it's the second shot, takes a deflection off of Naby Sarr, and the opening goal is Southend's.
Yeah, I just said a minute ago, we're overplaying, and I think we overplayed there and give the ball away cheaply, and then they've gone on, got a deflected goal, but it could have been prevented.
And there's two deflections as well. I think it came off Sarr and Billick. Humphreys, it was a powerful effort that just looped up, and not much Phillips could do about it, but hey, Jason's spot on. I think it was a case of there was an early long ball on, or just trying to get out of this sort of crowded area that Southend had been causing, because really Southend have, that's all they've really been doing, is it's just causing a bit of pressure on us. You'd say Charlton up to this point have been fairly comfortable, and the only opportunities Southend have had have been because of Charlton mistakes. Tekele is headed down by Hart and cleared away by White, and Southend have a counter attack as Humphreys has momentarily got past.
Did he know
Sarr
he was offside? He's just pulled up. Did he know he was offside? I think he must have
thought he heard a whistle.
Did he?
Yeah. Got away with that one.
Stopped Humphreys, who was clear on goal. He might not have gone the end of it, and Charlton have given the ball away through Cullen, and Knightley winning the ball, and Billick having to win it back for Charlton. Reeves is an awful ball to Williams.
Oh, that's a red card.
Dangerous,
that's a red
challenge
card
from Yearwood.
That has to be a red card.
And that is a red card. And Charlton have been given a lifeline here, as Yearwood showed a bit of inexperience with a heavy challenge on Johnny Williams. His feet were off the ground.
Get the trainer on. Somebody, just referee, just get the physio on. He took Williams out shin high.
Yeah, it's an awful tackle.
It's a bouncing ball, but Yearwood made no contact with it and wiped out Johnny Williams. And referee Simon Hooper.
There are certain cards where you have some sympathy with, where players are genuinely trying to get to the ball, and I'm sure he was, but he left his foot so high then, and I accept Williams got there first and took the ball away from him. You can't challenge that high anymore, you just can't.
No, I think it's a definite red card, that obviously. I think he was genuinely going for the ball, but when you're going in that high and you miss the ball, it's got to be a red card, unfortunately for the boy.
Humphreys, it's going to be Mantum to take. Mantum over the wall, and it's not far wide either. Southend are claiming the goal, but it's harmlessly wide from our angle.
How did they think that was a goal?
It's actually rolled all the way to Naby Sarr in the middle of the box. Tries a shoot, and
Naby Sarr
goes for it! And it's not far wide. It's a hell of a strike from the centre-half out of position, and almost in the midfield role. What a spectacular effort that sent Nathan Bishop flying, but wide. It's worth noting that's probably Charlton's only attempt on goal so far.
Great effort from Naby. You see him, he's one of the best finishers at the club, to be fair. Even in training, he's very, very good. Great left foot.
Southend get the game back underway. Fosu down towards Reeves. It goes for goal, and it's not that far away from Ben Reeves. And his weaker right foot, the ball just dipped. It was dipping, but it was not quite enough to get it on target. But a good start from the Eddicks in this second half.
Real good. It was a good strike to be got from Reeves on his weaker foot on his right. It was a good effort. It's a positive start. Hopefully, we can
carry on. Have the ball with Cox. Goes down the line looking for Humphreys. And Chris Solly goes across to Chase. And he's just trying to usher out of the play. But Humphreys has got the better of him. And Humphreys takes it past him into the pounds here. Humphreys backwards to Manta with a shot over the bar.
That was a huge chance for Southend. Huge chance. Chris Solly gambled on trying to allow the ball to go out of play. Didn't work. And Humphreys, once he was in the box, I'm surprised he didn't go himself.
Reverse ball to Parker. Now Williams in a bit of space. Williams thinks about a shot, goes for it, and it's straight at the goalkeeper in the end.
It's a shame. Again, you've got to give some credit to Josh Parker for his hold-up play there. Brought
nice
Johnny
touch.
Williams in.
Yeah. I think now it's even more important now. Two banks of four, Southend. We've got to move the ball really quickly and get it out wide and use the 2v1.
Further around now is Bielik. Bielik. Further to the right is Marshall. Crossing opportunity for Marshall. Ball into the box. Flipped on by Reeves.
Oh, it's got to be yes!
Ben Reeves with the header.
Great header.
What a header that is.
Mark Marshall, the ball in the box. Reeves came to the near post. A little glancing flick from one of the smallest players on the pitch. And it comes off the post and in. And Charlton have the equaliser.
Oh, that's all down to movement. The movement of the players wide. Mark Marshall getting into space. That's a lovely whip cross, but it's the movement of Ben Reeves into the near post, into the edge of the 6-yard box. Lovely flicked header. And the keeper had no chance. At first I thought it was going to come off the post and back into his arms. But Charlton needed that badly. We need to go on and win this.
Come on, boys.
What a header from Ben Reeves, of all players. One that this man alongside us would have been happy with.
Yeah. No, it was a great ball from Mark Marshall. He put two in earlier, just went straight into the keeper's hand. So a bit of quality, and Reeves got on the end of it.
Trying to take the free kick quickly and gets it to Fosu. Fosu's allowed to turn. To the right is Bielik. Bielik thinks about a shot. It goes for it.
Oh!
It's a great save from Bishop. Christian Bielik, the centre half, with an outstanding strike, forcing the save from the goalkeeper.
And that's a centre half that knows he can play in midfield and has got a shot on him.
Just watch the replay. The credit to the goalkeeper there. That's a great save. And Bielik's so unlucky, couldn't have hit that any better.
Cox is about 2 foot away from the ball at the minute.
Reeves at the corner for Charlton. Sent towards Parker with the header. Oh. What a save again from Bishop. Diving to his left, just to palm it away. It looked like a certain goal.
It was a great header from Parker. Back across. Needed the excellent save that it got.
Got to keep his intensity.
Now uses McLaughlin on the overlap. He's going to look for the corner. Instead gets the ball across. Fosu heads it straight to Buomono. Buomono. Box ball across into the substitute Glass, and that's a shot that scrapes the post.
Jesus.
And away for a throw-in by the corner flag for Charlton. Comes across here to Naby Sarr. Different angle for the ball in, perhaps. Naby Sarr still on the ball. Chip ball into the corner of the six-yard box. Take advantage over the header. Oh, just wide right of the post. So close.
Oh, it's a great ball in from Naby
Sarr. Yeah, it was a good ball.
Cannons off of McLaughlin. It's going to be out for a throw, and that's time. And Southend reacting like they've won the FA Cup over there. And backs to the wall stuff since they had a man sent off. Charlton couldn't crack him after going behind in the 22nd minute of Stephen Humphreys.
Yeah, disappointing result in the end, but Charlton give it their all in the second half. Just couldn't break Southend down, defended well. I think you need to get that momentum going into either the playoffs or pushing for top two. I think obviously top two is going to be difficult now. Obviously, we're not picking up for 3 points in the last three games, and obviously the teams above us are all winning, so it's going to be difficult, but we've got to keep the faith and we'll keep giving our all till the end of the season.
There we go, Jason Pearce having the final word on the commentary highlights, admitting now that the top two is going to be very difficult. I mean, we knew it was going to be difficult anyway, but every time we drop points and no wins in the last three games, it's going to be looked at as 7 points dropped in the last three games, Tom.
Yeah, it is. And I put the question out there earlier about that, and the majority of responses said that then think probably top two's out of our hands now, but playoffs is still very much achievable. And yes, it's frustrating, but you look at the results we have got and you look at the situation in terms of Lyle being banned and Carlin going, I don't think we're going to have it much tougher than that. And obviously for the rest of the season, we've got no Grant, but I mean, and hopefully Taylor may well get banned again with those yellow cards, but by then, hopefully, Parker will be a bit more up to speed. So I think this is possibly as tough as it gets, really, because, yes, we've had injuries in other places as well, but you're able to cope with those because of the strength in depth that we've got, particularly in midfield. But up top, we just haven't got that, unfortunately. So it is frustrating and it is points dropped. But I think once Lyle comes back, and yes, it's a lot of weight on one man's shoulders, but he's so pivotal to everything that we do, you would hope we'll start to pick up a few more positive results soon.
So we're 7 points off Barnsley, who sit in second. Barnsley have one game in hand on us. Portsmouth also have a game in hand on us. They're 4 points ahead of us. Sunderland have 3 games in hand on us and a 2-point advantage in points over us. So we're going to have to overtake all three of those, all of whom have at least one game in hand. So with half of our lethal strike force gone as well, I mean, top two now is really looking like a big ask. You look down the table, Peterborough have played the same amount of games as us. They're in seventh on 49 points, so 6 points behind us. Blackpool are 9 points behind us, but have 2 games in hand. So they're the two we're going to look be worried about in terms of catching us. So we're in a good position for the playoffs. And then, as Piercy said, they're obviously top two is looking very difficult now, but they're going to give it their all. And even if we don't hit that top two, I mean, we're going to have to think about trying to get into the playoffs with some sort of form going. So these drop points over the last few weeks, Terry, they're going to have to be addressed quite quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, the only thing you'd sort of cling to is that the other teams have got to go through Bury. Luton still haven't gone through theirs yet. You'd expect them to at some point, although I mean, they may not, of course. And so we've got to play, I think, Portsmouth and Luton.
Mm.
That's it, I think, and Doncaster, I think, as well. So, you know, we take points off of them. I'm assuming the others have got to play each other as well. At some points in the season, so they're not going to be able to win every game. And you'll hear Lee Bowyer's assessment of how many games he thinks we've got to win to get into the top two in a second, and I tend to agree. It's a tall order, no question about it, but I think from our point of view, I think almost now don't worry about which position we finish in, whether it be first, second, or down to sixth.
Well, let's just, if we finish 15th?
Yeah, but no, in terms of, let's just make sure we go into every game with the mentality to win it and see where that takes us.
Yeah, certainly. And that's what we need to do. Unfortunately, we didn't win it yesterday. Came from behind, obviously, against 10 men. Do you think the draw, fair result overall, Tom?
It's a tough one. I think possibly just because they had those couple of chances late on as well where they could have snatched something. I thought we started a little bit slowly, a little bit shaky. Obviously, the goal was a bit of a fluke in that it took the deflection. And then when they went down to 10 men, we dominated the ball, which you would expect, but we just couldn't seem to break them down. And I talked on Thursday's show about maybe putting Fosu up there alongside Igor, and obviously he did start, but Marshall started as well. And I mean, Bowyer said it himself, everybody said it, the delivery from those two just wasn't enough. And when you've got someone like Igor, even Josh, when he came on, managed to win a few headers, but the deliveries just didn't really help him. And when you're trying to break down a resolute side and they're only defending the width of the box and they've got plenty of bodies in there, your crossing has to be perfect, particularly when you've only got one or two Charlton bodies in there, and it just wasn't. So I think because we weren't at our best, and because of the way Southend dug in, and credit to them for doing that because they made it very difficult for us, I think a draw probably was fair.
I mean, going back to the starting lineup, I mean, it was a real left field choice from Lee Bowyer to start Mark Marshall up front alongside Igor Vetekele, Terry. I mean, when I came in and I saw that team, I mean, no one saw that coming. I sent a text to Tom, actually, saying, without telling him who it was, I said, try and guess who it is. And he had about four guesses, and he didn't get even close to it. I mean, that came out of nowhere. I mean, you can see Bowyer talked about it after the game. He was trying something a little bit different and realised it wasn't working at half-time. But I guess in the situation we were in, he has to try something, although some people will be surprised that he didn't choose to play Josh Parker, who is a recognised striker.
I'm guessing that the reason behind it is he was trying to match up as much as possible the Carl and Grant situation, where you've got raw pace that with Igor Vetekele that might be able to get behind the South End, because they're quite a tall outfit, and maybe they were worried or hoping that their turning circle wasn't quite up to speed. It didn't quite work out, and again, mainly, I mean, there was, especially in the first, but even before they went down to 10 men, I thought we were in largely in control. I mean, the goal came out of nowhere almost, but the final ball, even when we were 11v11, was just slightly overhit. You know, when we were hitting balls into the corner, Igor Vetekele or Mark Marshall just weren't getting them to them in time before they either went off for a goal kick or off for a throw-in. So it wasn't working even before then. So, and then when they went down to 10 men, they just two banks of four, and squished up, and so we couldn't get beyond them anyway. So I can sort of understand the reasoning behind it. I'm not sure I agree with it necessarily, but I can understand it. In the position we were in with Lyle Taylor not being there as well, he was having to make some form of guesswork as to how it would best suit us. I'd have to say he probably got it wrong. I'd have started with Parker. I think in the two cameos he's had, he's looked all right, actually.
Yeah, I thought yesterday he impressed in particular. The opening goal, when it came, long-range strike from Stephen Humphreys, that took a nasty deflection off Naby Sarr, left Dylan Phillips with absolutely no chance, that one.
Yeah, and what's frustrating is when you look back at it, we just didn't close him down quick enough, and you could see it happening at the time. It
came from Reeves as well, giving the ball away.
So he gave the ball away high up the pitch, and then he gets the ball, and it wasn't really going anywhere. If you show him down the side instead, then that probably would have led to nothing, but we gave him too much space, and he just kept cutting in, shaping to shoot, cutting in, shaping to shoot. And you thought, if someone doesn't close him down, he's going to have a go. And that's exactly what happened. And yes, he was lucky with the deflection. And as you say, it was way out of, there was nothing Phillips could do to stop it. But we just gave him too much space around the edge of the box. And if you do that, you know, someone's going to have a go, like much like Naby did a bit later on. But yeah, one of those things. obviously frustrating. And as I say, I think slightly against the run of play, because although we'd started a little bit slowly, we'd then started to pick up the pace and we were spreading the ball around quite nicely. And I have to say, Reeves and Johnny Williams in particular were outstanding yesterday, I thought. But then it was, as you say, that one error, and then just not closing them down quickly enough. And before you know it, you're 1-0 down.
Yeah, and I guess there's always a danger once you have fallen behind like that, that you can get caught out quickly. And actually, just before the red card, and we have to talk about the bizarre incident where Stephen Humphreys was through on goal again. I think it was a long ball over the top. And all of a sudden, he's looking over his shoulder, trying to work out who's blowing a whistle. And I was looking at the referee, trying to work out where this whistle was coming from. But the referee wasn't blowing his whistle. It came from the away end, which was bizarre.
I didn't even hear it. So when you're looking on comms, and I couldn't hear the whistle, it was almost like, have you ever seen that horse racing footage where the horse jumps an imaginary fence for no reason whatsoever, just before the end? It looked a bit like that. He was running at full tilt. Then he stopped. So then I thought, well, he must be injured. And then somebody, I think one of the other guys mentioned that he thinks he heard a whistle for offside, or perhaps he thought he was offside and stopped anyway. It was just really weird.
Just really, really bizarre behaviour. But it was literally 30 seconds after that that Drew Yearwood jumped into that challenge on Johnny Williams. Now, watching it back today, I mean, that is one of the reddest red cards you're ever going to see. I mean, 2 feet off the floor. It wasn't that high, but it was reasonably high. The referee took no time at all to make that decision, because that was a nasty little challenge that was. And Johnny Williams has been on the receiving end of quite a few of those over the last few weeks.
Oh, he's been kicked from pillar to post yesterday as well. And regardless of that, I mean, you heard on the commentary straight away, as soon as he'd done it, I thought that should have been a red. I'd have been stunned had it not have been, but then I've been stunned before. I suppose it shouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, Paoli came into the press conference after and said he had no complaints about that red card, although he did say he felt that there was a couple of challenges on his players from Charlton men that may have been interesting. I have to admit I can't really remember them.
Vaguely remember one that Christian Billick did that was a tad late, but nothing in the realms of the Yearwood's one. Not even close.
So when you see a team go down to 10 men here at the Valley, not the first time we've seen it this season, it's normally Charlton though, but you expect to start to dominate proceedings, and we did probably enjoy possession like we did, but chances were just not coming for us in that first half. And then other really than that Naby Sarr long ranger that sort of just whistled over the crossbar from distance, you know, other than that, until maybe just a minute before when Purrington had the ball at the far post, and there's shouts for a handball, quiet shouts for a handball, but we weren't really finding our way through. And I mean, we all remember when Paoli was the manager here, we would go to an away ground where we weren't expected to get anything, and we'd just set up and make it very difficult, and that's what seemed to be happening yesterday.
Yeah, and as I said at the start of the show, I think the opportunity to do that when you've got 10 men, it kind of allows him to do that without his own fans getting too frustrated about it, and it plays into their hands. And I know Marshall didn't really do the job he was supposed to do anyway, in terms of getting in behind their defence and running forwards as opposed to coming short and getting the ball. But when they're down to 10 men and they're sitting deeper and they're even narrower, it means that even if Marshall was doing it well, it's very hard to do. I mean, Carlin would have struggled yesterday. Lyle would have struggled yesterday, because they were defending so narrow, they're defending so deep. The players you needed were the likes of Reeves and Williams to try and drive at that defence and play quick little passes, and to an extent they did that, and then we just couldn't get close enough. And you're saying about Johnny Williams getting hacked about all over the place as well. I said at half time, just get him on the ball as much as possible, because they were scared to get anywhere near him, particularly in that second half, because they just didn't want to lose another man. And I thought, as I said a bit earlier, I thought him and Reeves were outstanding, but they got to a point and we just looked a bit toothless. It's the same, I thought we looked like that at Peterborough, where obviously we did have Carlin, but we had no Lyle. Thought we looked like it again last week from the highlights I've seen up at Fleetwood. It's just not quite clicking in that final third. And I know it sounds obvious, but we're missing Lyle Taylor and we're missing Carlin as well. And, you know, it's not rocket science that your two best strikers who scored almost 30 goals between them are out of the side and we're struggling to score. It kind of speaks for itself, really. And I think it really is as simple as that.
Yeah, no surprises at half-time. Lee Bowyer decided to bring on Josh Parker, went to three at the back. Chris Solly, the diminutive fullback in the middle of that back three, was quite a sight. But I'm guessing he felt that both Billick and Sarr can actually get forward quite well and offer a bit of a threat. So I'm guessing that's why I decided to leave Solly in the middle of that back three. And we did start to you know, turned the screw at the start of that second half. And we saw that volley from Reeves that was only just over. And it wasn't too long into that second period that we had the equaliser on the hour mark, so 15 minutes after the break. Mark Marshall with the excellent cross, Ben Reeves with the superb header, his third goal of the season.
Yeah, and his movement in to get to the corner of that six-yard box to lose his man, get in front of his man, and then flicked header. I did one. My heart was in my mouth because I thought that ball was definitely coming back out again. Yeah. Not going in the way our luck was going. so, I mean, really, the one real delivery of quality, and we scored from it after the hour. And I think the next one was when Parker tested the keeper a bit later on. But other than that, you'd have to admit with Lee Bayer that the deliveries weren't as good as they should have been. And I was actually, didn't come across on commentary, but I was actually saying quite early on, that Fosser was getting no change at all out of Buamona. He's a good defender. And every single time he tried to either get past him or cut back inside, he had him covered. I was sort of screaming from commentary, just swap wings. Just change it over. Just give somebody, give Fosser a run at Hart on the other side and let Marshall have a go at Buamona. And just see, change it up, just to see if it'll work. But we didn't do it.
Yeah, obviously after the goal, the tails were up at that point, and we did have that flurry of chances. I mean, excellent long-range effort from Billick, the keeper. I mean, it was a flying save, wasn't it? Diving to his left, and then from the resulting corner, it looked for all the world like Josh Parker had his first Charlton goal there, but the keeper's somehow clawed it out. And you're just thinking, now with our tails, you're thinking, right, we're going to put them under all sorts of pressure for this last 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, and I said to Nathan and yourself at half-time that I could see us scoring early in that second half and then struggling to get the winner. And that's exactly how it proved. But you're right, we start to pile on that pressure and we start to create a few more chances, like you say, and actually test the keeper, because for all that possession in the first half, we didn't do it a huge amount. And it just felt like that other goal was coming. And Southend sat deeper and deeper, and people around me just kept saying, we've got them on the ropes, they're on the ropes, they're on the ropes. And we just couldn't bat them down and couldn't break through. And the longer that goes on, you think, right, we've got to be careful now, because if they get one counter-attack, they might pick us off. And obviously, that nearly happens as well. But again, that's what I've been saying just about the lack of a striker. I thought Parker, when he came on, did very well, won a couple of good headers back across the box. And obviously, that chance, which it was a fantastic save from their keeper. So it wasn't like we had no chances, but we just couldn't break them down. And I think that was the main source of frustration when we all left yesterday.
I mean, I think nine corners we had throughout the game. I was expecting that to be more, actually, when I just went to check it. I'm guessing that eight of those came in the second half, because we just seem to be winning corners all the time. But other than those two chances we mentioned, really, we weren't creating clear-cut ones after it. I mean, Southend was stopping us from doing that, and as Boya said, our balls into the final third weren't good enough to find that chance. And it could have been worse, because sort of around the turn of the 90s, Southend had a couple of really decent chances. That one from Klass that went across the face of Garmin. I mean, if that had gone in, that would have been a real sucker punch.
No, not half. We'd be more miserable than we are now. There was a chance, I think it was on commentary, where I'm pretty sure it was Humphreys cut back into the box when Chris Solly tried to usher it out for a goal kick and didn't quite manage it. And Humphreys nicked it off him, and he went into the box and he just made the wrong decision. And I think if he'd have had a shot then, he'd have had a better chance of scoring. And then, we'd be all sitting here even more depressed than we are now. So we rode our luck there, but to be honest, we should have been outside long before then.
And we did have that last chance of Hackett Fairchild, which was a header. I mean, I haven't had a chance to see it back because for some reason wasn't on the Valley Pass highlights, but it was a long ball in from Nabi Sarr, a measured ball, not just a hopeful punt. And Rico is obviously, you know, had his difficult first start up at Fleetwood last week. He played 10 minutes. I mean, that was his most important involvement in the game. And if that goes in, I mean, that could have been so important because, for starters, it could have been like him being reborn as well and giving him all sorts of confidence. But more importantly, he would have given us 3 points out of a difficult game.
Yeah, and I'm going to be a bit harsh, but I think he should have probably done better despite his lack of experience. Nabi Sarr, first of all, on that ball in and just in general, was unbelievable yesterday. I mean, he really played up to the crowd as well, and he just had an absolutely outstanding game, both at defensively and going forward. But the ball in was decent, and Rico's in a good position there. And I don't know, I get the feeling that if it was an under-23s game and he was in exactly the same position, he'd probably back himself to score. And I don't know if it's the size of the ground or the crowd, or I don't know, but maybe just a lack of confidence. But he didn't quite seem to believe in himself, and just not quite put enough onto it, and it was close, just past the post, but he just doesn't quite look ready for me yet.
In a perfect world, and if we were a club that was in a better position generally, he'd have been out on loan now, wouldn't
exactly.
he? He wouldn't be playing in the first team. He'd be getting experience somewhere else.
There's plenty of players who've been like that over the last few years. And I mean, we talked about Carlin enough times, but we know how he struggled when he first came into that team. And look what that loan spell at Crawley did for him.
Well, look at the respective size of those two players now as well, because Rico looks so slight and Carlin's obviously really built himself up and looks like a man player as opposed to a child player. And Rico still looks like a kid playing men's football, and he needs to bulk up, and he probably needs a spell down in a conference or League Two to try and build himself up to that level.
And it's not as if we know he hasn't got the talent, because we've seen, you know, he's had cameos where he come on and looks the business. So, you know, it's there. It's just a question of when you come up against the likes of
Michael Turner.
Exactly. He's just a beast. And who was it up at Fleetwood last week? The guy they just signed who was like 7'2" or whatever it was. You know, it's a tough ask for and I wouldn't necessarily call him a kid, because I think he's older than Carlin, is he?
No, so we were talking about this at Fleetwood. We were saying, oh, it's funny because Carlin is actually about 2 months older than Rico, according to Socrates.
But when you look at him, you think Carlin's considerably older, isn't he? And that's because he's had more experience.
Yeah, and it's incredible how much that can play a part. So, 3 games without a win now. At least we've got a goal, because we had failed to score in our previous 2. I was sort of saying to I was around a friend's house last night with a few Charlton fans, and we were talking about, you know, we feel bad about the last 2 weeks, but let's see now how we are with Lyle Taylor back in this side, because that's going to be vital. Parker yesterday showed some signs of maybe he might be. I mean, it's still very early days, and we know what his previous goal record is, but he looked to be linking up play quite nicely. Unlucky not to score one, a few knockdowns. It'd be interesting to see with him and Taylor back, but, you know, just to ensure that we're in a position where we are still going into the playoffs with some sort of form. I mean, London at Giza, when we were talking earlier about playoffs, did say we went into the playoffs last season as the form team, and it made absolutely no difference. Easy to get carried away. But now is the time. I think give it a week, and we'll know a lot more about this team a week or two when we've had a couple of games with Lyle Taylor back.
I was going to say, I think 2 or 3 games. I think it'll be interesting to see how Lyle copes without Carlin alongside him, because we know the partnership that they've built up both on and off the pitch. Parker, I think, looks very good, but I worry that we've had strikers that come in and look good and then struggle to score, and then their form drops off. So I think he needs a goal fairly early on with us, and then his confidence will be high as well. I think there is the making of a partnership there. I thought Igor, again, looked a little step closer to, not to his best necessarily, but he's certainly on his way and he's improving as well. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom up there. Yes, of course, I'd rather have Carlin back up there, but reality is we haven't. But there are options up there. It's whether we can keep them all fit, whether we can keep them all not being banned, and whether they can hit the ground running, as I say, in an adjustment, because Carlin and Lyle have obviously had so much game time together up until this point.
I think I'm going to disagree with you about Igor there, to be honest. I can't remember him doing much, really. I mean, he was up there, but I can't remember him having a chance on goal. I vaguely remember him fouling the keeper towards the end when there was a knockdown. I mean, he needs to get his fitness and his sharpness back for certain, but I mean, I think it's a huge ask for him to get anywhere near the levels he was 4 years ago, and I've seen nothing over the last two games to suggest he will do.
I tend to agree. I think we forget, I think, a little bit that everybody says, well, he's only had a few weeks out with a dislocated shoulder, but actually, in terms of not playing for Charlton, he hasn't actually played a first team game for Charlton. How many in total this year? About 2?
This year, not many. He started at Walsall when he got that dislocated shoulder, didn't he? But he hasn't started too many, started at Luton as well. But
so I don't think he's had that many games in the first team to hit the ground running, to be able to build up a head of steam. So I think it's a really tough ask. I'd really be tempted, and this is going to come a bit from left field, to look at Mikhail Kennedy. You know, he's been out on loan. He's back off injury now. He's young. He just has a knack of getting in the right place at the right time as well. And he's a little bustly strike. He'll cause problems. And as an option, I'm talking about, not as a front line pairing necessarily, but certainly as an option off the bench, I'd seriously consider it. But I mean, I'm not the one making the decisions, obviously.
I think for me, what I saw in Igor yesterday was just his movement. I think he has still got that pace that can scare defenders. I agree, necessarily end product, there wasn't a lot yesterday, but I think a lot of that was down to the service. And I think had he had a couple of better balls into the box, I think he would have created something. I'm not saying he was magnificent yesterday by any stretch, but I just think there is little glimpses there in the way he moves, and he just looks like he's getting his confidence back as well. And like I said on Thursday's show, he needs a goal fairly quickly. But if he can get a goal, I think that would do huge things for him.
Having said that, of course, he was up alongside Mark Marshall, who's not a striker. So put him up alongside Lyle Taylor for a couple of games, see what happens. Because it could be a completely different kettle of fish. We've got Blackpool and AFC Wimbledon, next two games. And really, you've got to be looking at winning both of those. Mm. And then we come into, I think it's Doncaster and Portsmouth after that.
Yeah.
So we need to go into those two games with something behind us, I think.
So three out of the next four games are against teams in and around the promotion race, of course, because Blackpool are up there. Obviously, Wimbledon are rock bottom, but I've got a horrible feeling about going to that place.
Well, but that's just because of where it is.
Plenty of reasons to have horrible feelings about going to AFC Wimbledon. Right, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in 1 second. Don't forget, you can have your say on this evening's show. We've got plenty of tweets and emails and message board posts lined up already. I mean, let us know what you made of Igor Vetticale. A little bit of disagreement in the studio, but that's what it's all about. It's all about opinions. So email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say this evening. Right, Lee Bowyer came to speak to Terry after yesterday's game. As you can imagine, he was fairly frustrated that the Addicts were unable to come away with more than just a point against Southend.
It was obviously better than them, but keeper made a few good saves, and that final ball in the final third, not good enough most of the time. 8-9 times out of 10, poor balls. Can't keep doing that, can't keep getting the ball wide, because we was never going to play through them. So we had to work it wide. So I changed it at half time, put the two wingers wide, Marsh as a wing back and Tariq as a wing back, and hope that they would obviously make something happen, you know. Not played for a while when I thought, well, they've got their chance now, to go and grab it. But no, front third, not good enough.
Well, I suppose it says that the one really good delivery into the box is the one we got the equaliser from, and you'd say that probably just didn't happen often enough.
No, not enough. No, you can't put 20 balls into the box and one good one. That's not realistic. So I've just said to him, like, it's not the way it is, you know. That you have to grab chances. When you get them, you grab them. But it just frustrates me so much, because, like, we're so close, you know, and then that's 2 points dropped last week. Not good enough last week. It's just drives me crazy. Take too many touches, like, don't understand it. But we're so good when we play one and two touch. So why are you now taking five and six touches? It just drives me crazy. It's not like we do it in training all week. All week we train one and two touch. The odd time we might let them have like an all-in session, but very rarely. Maybe once in a whole morning. I don't understand why then you turn up on a Saturday and you want to take five and six touches. It doesn't make sense. And that's how you beat teams. That's how you break teams down, move the ball quickly. And for some reason we want to take too many touches today.
In some ways, did the sending off compound that? Because obviously Southend then sat deep and invited us on a bit, and so that it doesn't have you don't get the space for those quick touch football.
Yeah, it definitely made a difference, because they obviously went 4-4-1, and then it just solid, difficult to break down. But yeah, it's no excuses. It's our fault. We should have won the game. We had the chances to win it as well. Their keeper was very good. And to be fair, we had a chance at the end. They could have nicked it. Can you imagine? Wow.
I think we'd have had probably different conversations if that had been the case. Yeah. Almost a perfect Valley debut for Josh Parker. Well, not quite. And again, another decent cameo when he came on.
Yeah. I thought, he was better this week. made an impact, which is what you want from your subs. So, yeah, as a striker, you just want them to be between the goalposts. And he'd done that, and especially when he was putting the amount of balls that we was putting in. So, I was happy with his performance today.
So obviously you're going to see this as a missed opportunity to grab 3 points, and we're at home again next week. You've got Lyle Taylor back from suspension. Unfortunately, we've lost Christian Bullock today for 2 games. Not quite as big a selection headache, because obviously Patrick Bauer's back, but you must be at least looking forward to Lyle coming back in and give us another option up top.
Yeah, Lyle, I've missed him. It's so obvious to see. Go back training Monday and work hard and get it right, because there's no way we can fall off it now. We've worked too hard to get where we are, to drop.
Well, we're in fifth place, a decent gap between us and seventh, but you've said this often enough, you're looking in a different direction. You still want to grab that top two. Do you still think it's a realistic target?
Yeah, I do, because I know what we're capable of. We just need to go on a run, and I thought it was going to start today, and that's why I'm so frustrated, because we had an opportunity to get 3 points and start the run today. But now this is one that's gone. You have to count as a draw, and we have to win minimum of 11. I told the players that earlier on in the week. We have to win minimum of 11 out of the next 15. It was, so nothing's changed. Nothing's changed there. We're still, and are we capable of doing it? I believe we are. So, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but we'll definitely be giving it a go.
And you've got bodies coming back. Joe Rebo not quite making it for this week, but hopefully next. You've got we had Jason Pearce up in the commentary box with us. He's hoping start training soon, and then he'll be up for selection as well. Yeah. So that in itself, hopefully, will help us gear up for this running.
Yeah, you just need all the bodies you can, especially when you play your Saturday, Tuesday games. So if you can freshen things up, then it's better. And that's what hurts really around at Christmas time. We just didn't have them bodies, but now, yeah, like you said, they're all coming back, and yeah, they'll make us stronger.
You mentioned midweek. There's also a possibility of trying to get a free agent in. Is that something you're still going to look for, or are you just going to settle with what you've got?
No, so we've been trying. We're looking at all the free agents in for the January transfer window, but they there's just not many around. Not just going to come and make us any better. So, like I said, there's no point just bringing someone in just for the sake of it. Just to have another body around if he's not going to actually be involved or play. So, there's not many out there. We're speaking to one at the moment, but again, I don't know whether he'll want to come here or go somewhere else. I don't know. But there is not much out there.
One issue with Christian Bullock fell foul off today. Obviously, Lyle Taylor's coming back next weekend, and he's only two away from the 10. Is it possible you can ask him to change, or does that lose something from his game if you do?
No, I spoke to Lyle yesterday about that situation. He's only got like 5 games, like it's not hard. 5 games, 2 bookings, like I think that'll be fine. Christian is a bit more difficult with Christian, because obviously he's all or nothing, can he? He's just one of them players, and he overruns it at times, like today, stupid booking. But he's liable of doing that, and you can't stop that. Mm-hmm. But you can stop a striker like making a stupid tackle, because normally strikers are just stupid tackles trying to maybe block a clearance or something, you know. So yeah, Lyle will be fine.
The one sending off we had today, I don't think anybody could question it necessarily, but you must have been mightily relieved that there was no worse damage to Johnny Williams than there was.
To be honest, I ain't seen it back. Don't know how bad the tackle was. Looked quite high. But Johnny's been getting kicked to pieces since he's been in. So obviously when you're a good player, you must be used to it, because when you're a good player, you get kicked. That's just what happens. It's the only way they can stop you. So hopefully the refs just keep protecting him, because we wouldn't want anything bad to happen to him. She loves looking at us, and she don't need
no one else. Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. Strike!
Oh, my word!
Taylor Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. It was the mascots in the studio yesterday. They were loving it, too.
It took them a while to get screaming, but they got there in the end.
Yeah, they were more excited to be in the studio than I ever have been. they seem to be loving it. Lee Bowyer there, chatting away about yesterday's game draw with Southend United. I mean, the frustration in his voice. I mean, they played the BBC interview with him on Radio London. And when it came out of it, Phil Parry asked Steve Brown if he thought Lee Bowyer was all right, because he was not a happy bunny.
Well, Lee's never... I've never come across Lee Bowyer so far as being what you'd call delirious at any point. But yesterday he was down. And probably he wasn't that great up at Fleetwood either when you think about it. So I think the fact that he couldn't get a striker in, Grant leaving, and he couldn't get adequate replacement, I think that's probably hit him hard.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the situation that we're in as a club with the owner and the lack of replacement for a striker, as Terry's just mentioned there, Tom. I mean, do you think... I mean, Lee Bowyer's always been the eternal optimist, hasn't he? But, I mean, it is probably hard to say if he sounds really down now compared to the rest of the season, because he always sounds like that. But, I mean, do you think that is affecting him?
I do, yeah. And there's a couple of people said to me on Twitter today that they think he's just a bit fed up with how things are, and I wouldn't blame him, because not everything lies at the owner's door in terms of the issues we had with getting that striker over in the last minute, in terms of those clubs not managing to bring people in. But the fact we left it to the last minute in the first place, certainly he has to shoulder some of the blame there, and the lack of investment as well. So yeah, I just get the feeling that he knows how close we are, and I think if we'd have brought a striker in, we'd still be talking about the fact that top two's a very legitimate possibility, as opposed to a bit of an outside chance. And Roland's always said that if we were up there and we were in a position to perhaps go up, then he would look to invest, and he hasn't done that. And for me, he's shooting himself in the foot, because if we don't go up, then the club's not going to be worth what he wants anyway. So we've said plenty of times since Carlin's gone, we don't quite understand the logic in that short-term 2 million or whatever it was over getting us promoted and keeping him. But yeah, he does. He does sound frustrated. And as fans, I think we all are as well, because we know how close we are. And losing Carlin was perhaps out of our control, but you could still get someone in and try and sort that out. And he hasn't done that.
I think trying to use logic in anything to do with our current ownership is a futile exercise in the extreme. I think what it boils down to is shillings and pence, isn't it? We've obviously worked into a budget. Mm. Now, until Carlin actually walks out the door, and we then are able to release certain funds that his salary, for example, and therefore also, I'm guessing, Billy Clark's salary, until they actually physically leave the premises, you can't then release that money to get somebody else in. So we've got to wait until they go, I'm assuming, because the budget constraints are that tight. So until you release those funds, you can't bring anybody in. So it almost had to be at the last minute. Had Carl and Grant gone at the beginning of the transfer window, bizarrely, we might have had a better chance because you have extra time to then bring somebody in.
Yeah, interesting how these things work out. He mentioned himself as well, so he set a target. Now, I think he did it last season when he came in with 10 games left to go of how many of those games we needed to win to get into the playoffs. Now, he set the target with 14 games left in the league to win 11 of them to get into that top two. So, I mean, that is a big ask. I mean, you can only not win three of your games, and that, I mean, that is a lot of pressure on the players. But if we are going to get that miraculous top two place now, then at least they know what's ahead of them.
Well, it'd be interesting to know what people think of what three games can we get away with not winning. Now, you can add the Portsmouth one to that straight away because it's on Sky, so you can discount that one. We've got Luton at home. Doncaster away, I think you mentioned that, Tom, as a possible banana skin. Looking at the rest of them, actually, when you look at the fixtures and you look at who they're against, you think, actually, you know, on our day, they're all winnable. And the ones that are tough are the Portsmouth, the Luton and possibly Doncaster away, the ones that are up there with us, I guess.
Yeah.
But bizarrely, we've actually probably played better against the top six than we have against the others.
Right, well, let's see how it goes for the rest of the season. Right, we've got plenty of tweets that came in to tonight's Charlton Live. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. London Innit Geezer, the first person to get involved yesterday, said, I see Boya coming in for some stick after the last two results. It's nonsense. He's beyond criticism in my book. The fickleness of Charlton fans is unreal. I have to admit, I haven't seen too much of that, but if it's out there, yeah, I think it would be quite harsh considering the circumstances. I mean, for sure, people can look at individual decisions, for example, Marshall up top, but I mean, Bowyer himself admitted it didn't work, and that's one of the things I do like about Bowyer, is he's not afraid to try something a bit different, but B, he's not afraid to admit when it's gone wrong and change it as soon as possible.
It's just people swiping out at anything and anyone, isn't it, really? When we're all disappointed, and some people show it in different ways, and that's having a go at the nearest person you can, and Bowyer's going to Bowyer's at the forefront of that, I guess. I don't get it either, personally. I think it's a small miracle we are where we are.
Yeah, Lee Edmonds agrees with London. He said, make you right. He's worked miracles. 100% Charlton said it was very, very frustrating. I fear if we don't win Saturday, we might go on a bad run of results. I hope I'm wrong. You could see Bowes was not happy yesterday. We seemed to play around with the ball instead of crossing it in the box. And some of the crossing that actually did go in was so poor, apart from Reeves' goal, of course. Fosu was poor. I don't know how he stayed on, to be honest. Taylor being back Saturday is a blessing. Let's hope we can go on a good run of results, because we are going to need it. I mean, we haven't really mentioned too much, of course, about what Boya had to say about Fosu and Marshall. I mean, I used the phrase on Twitter, singled them both out, but you can't single two people out, so I was desperately trying to think of a better phrase than that. But
doubled them out.
Yeah, he doubled them out after the game, which, I mean, it's not unheard of. I mean, Boya had something to say about Christian Bielik after Rochdale away. It's not the first time he's mentioned a player by name and not been happy with their performance, and with Christian it worked really well because the next week he was man of the match. But it does still make the headlines when players are named by a manager as being two of the ones who really let him down.
It is a risk. I don't know how much more we're going to see Mark Marshall, to be honest, the rest of this season. And I'm gutted for him, really, because I really wanted it to work out, but I think if we're being honest, it just hasn't. And Boya said it himself, he asked him to do a job and he just didn't seem to do it. And I don't know if that's confidence or what, but it just didn't work. And Fosu on the other side, we talked a lot about him on Thursday and about the fact that he's been nowhere near last season's Tariq Fosu yet, but he's still got that quality in him. And you could see him, like Tel says, he struggled really against that fullback all game. But the couple of times he did get round him, he'd then try and do something else extra, like try and take another player on or cut back, and you're like, no, you've done your bit, you've got past your man, whip that ball in. Because there were players like Reeves and Williams making bursts into the box along with Igor up there, so it wasn't like he didn't have people to aim for. And I think Boya's right, he's got to call them out and got to ask for a response. And if those players can't do it, well, like I said earlier, midfield is actually one of the places where we've got some options. So you throw a Lapsley or a Morgan in there, who I can't think of many times that either of those two have let us down this season. And you know, Aribo coming back to fitness as well. Yes, they're not wide players necessarily, but you go back to that narrow diamond and maybe those players can get a tune out of them.
Do you think that Joe Aribo is on this season what Tariq Fosu was for us last season? Get Joe Aribo back and playing well.
I think it could
and
be
you've
huge.
Got that somebody who can unlock defences, out of the ordinary stuff, stuff that people aren't expecting, and Joe Aribo's got that in his locker, and I'm just hoping that when he comes back in, he offers that something just that little bit different.
Coming back to Boya's comments about the two wingers as well, it depends a lot about the character of the player, doesn't it, as to how they react to that, because knowing Mark Marshall, as you know, just through interviewing and stuff, he seems like the person who will still prove to try and still knows he wants to try and prove himself after that, and he'll want to prove Bailey wrong. I don't know Fosu that well, but I don't know how he'd react to something like that, because he knows he hasn't been at his best all season, but last season he was the number one boy, wasn't he? He was the best player we had at times last season, so for him to have such a stark telling off in the public like that, it'd be interesting to see how he reacts to it.
I suppose in their defence, if there is such a thing, and I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here, is that they would say, well, hold on, you've told us to get into positions and put the ball in the box and make chances for our strikers, but every time we looked up there was nobody there because both of our strikers, one's in Huddersfield and the other one's suspended. So
I mean, it'd be one hell of a delivery to pick out Carlton
Grant. There you go. So there is some form of defence, I guess, in terms of the fact that we didn't have our certainly, we've got to say Lyle Taylor now is our premium striker. He wasn't there. So Igor Vetticelli, I think there was one delivery in the box. He just wasn't there. And the other one, I think, skimmed off his forehead when the cross came in. So are we being overly harsh? I mean, I tend to agree. I think their delivery was poor. As I said earlier, I was screaming from the swap sides because it clearly wasn't working.
There was one cross from Fosu in the first half that actually did find Lyle Taylor, but unfortunately he was sat in the stands with the rest of us.
I saw...
that shot was amazing, wasn't it?
Marshall posted something already today, I think on Instagram, about nobody said this would be easy or something like that. And like you said there, we know his attitude. He is going to try and work and improve him. He's not been called out before, but he's come in for criticism.
Do you think if there was ever, I think probably more so than I've ever remembered, I think Carl Lieberman was probably the last one, where the fans generally, not to a man, but generally, are so willing to do well.
Yeah.
Because he is such a lovely bloke, by the way. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met. I'm so desperate for him to succeed. It's unreal. And I don't know if that's putting more pressure on him or not. I don't know. But so I really want him to do well.
Who was that game he scored the goal against not that long
against
ago?
Against Wimbledon here at the
Bay.
Yeah,
and I was buzzing for him because the bloke in front of me was giving him so much stick when he came on as a sub and he made a poor cross. And then he scored that goal and I was so happy. And I think the fans were. And he came in and talked after the game about it. And every time he does do that little bit, which he has done two or three times, you just want him to kick on. And like we've said, his mentality is right. Everything seems to be right. His work ethic's right. It's just not clicked, unfortunately, and it is frustrating.
In his defence, he's not a striker, is he?
No.
I mean, I have to admit, like, I was roundly laughing when I saw that team selection yesterday, which I don't normally do, but it was it did come out
in
left field.
I knew something was up because and people won't know this, but when you come into the media room here, we've got Scoop. Peter Barrows, who sits at the desk dealing with the visiting media folk. Well, you know, and he loves to tell the people that come in what he thinks the team's going to be. Well, he almost met me at the bottom of the stairs. He was that desperate to tell me what was happening because I think it even stunned him and he's seen a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's seen a lot, Peter Barrows. Right, Cliff Scales said, thought the red card made it more difficult for us. They just got everybody behind the ball. We didn't do enough to break them down. Our delivery was poor. Fosu was very disappointing. Taylor has been a big miss for us. So glad that he's back next week. Now, 100% Charlton pointing out, only three players in our starting 11 yesterday have contracts that go into next season. The others are either loans or players out of contract. He says, Philip Saar and Solly are the ones. Saar must have been like a bloody million-year contract. He's still here next year. But I think the five-year deal he must have been on. But yeah, I mean, we've mentioned that on the show a few times now. I'm calling it a ticking time bomb here. It's just waiting to go off at the end of the season. There's just going to be no one here.
We're in training, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that's just going to end in absolute tears.
Especially for me.
Yeah, Tom Bramley. Poor first half and a slightly improved second half. I was surprised that Billick looked so uncomfortable at centre-back as he's played well there before. Saar was definitely man of the match. Another outstanding performance from him. Thankfully, Taylor, Bauer and hopefully Aribo will be back next week. I mean, did you feel Billick was uncomfortable?
I thought he had a couple of shaky moments, but generally I didn't think he was that bad. And when you consider they only had two shots on target in the entire game, they had 12 in total, and only two of them troubled Dylan Phillips, and one of them took a deflection to go in. I don't think we were that troubled. I mean, obviously they went down to 10 men, so it was always going to be a bit like that.
It's great news actually that Dylan got his contract extension sorted on Friday afternoon. We spoke to him after the game about that, so we'll hear that on Thursday's show. You know, because when he came in to speak to us on New Year's Day after he played his first game for a while against Walsall, and he sounded so down that we all in here thought there was a good chance he wasn't going to sign his contract. But he's actually been given his chance now, and he's kept his place. He's played well, made a few good saves over the last few weeks, and I'm so pleased that he's put pen to paper, because I think he's such a good goalkeeper.
I agree completely, and he's one of ours. He started when he was a kid here, so I know you shouldn't be that romantic about stuff. You should be more realistic, but the very fact that he's one of our own makes it more important for especially at the moment, for us to keep him. And so I'm absolutely thrilled that he signed a contract. And going back to that Christian Bilic one, I just like to just say, and I would tend to agree that the back, the middle back two weren't as comfortable necessarily, but I think if you remember when Christian Bilic was playing as a centre half, and everybody thought, whoa, he's brilliant, he's great cover. Then he went into his what you'd expect him to be, his normal role as defensive midfielder, and he had a mare first game, because it must take a little bit of time to get used to. That's in his defence.
I much prefer him, ironically. I much prefer him as a centre back to a defensive midfielder anyway. Right, Martin tweets in saying, weren't we all frustrated? Fosse was utterly useless, yet Bowyer drags Reeves. So maybe asking a
strange one.
I think everybody found that strange. I can't defend the indefensible unless Reeves was blowing or carrying a knock. I didn't get it.
Yeah, smile like you mean it. Paul Edwards, our favourite photographer here on Charlton Live, after last week's email fiasco, saying that the man of the match was the fella who won the crossbar challenge at half time. Always love a good crossbar challenge.
Brilliant.
Me, or did it just not look likely when it left his foot?
No, I agree with that.
It's almost like an unseen force lifted it onto the bar.
I love the photo that Paul took as well of Darren Prattley hugging him. They were
they
loving
all did,
it.
They loved it. Yeah, absolutely. They were on a commission.
Michael Peck says, I've got to say, I felt so confident 2 weeks ago. Then all of a sudden, I feel the wheels have well and truly fallen off. I love this club, but that sale was such a bad move in the position we were in. And not to get a like-for-like replacement in for Carlin Grant is so wrong. I hope it's Roland's parking gift, at least.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you go back to that Peterborough game when he was still here and we missed that penalty, and you've got... There's so much positivity going into that game because you've got about a million Charlton fans there and the atmosphere was amazing, and you think, right, there's no way we can lose this game. And then suddenly we miss a penalty, we draw 0-0, Carlin goes, then we go up to Fleetwood off the back of him leaving and lose 1-0 in a pretty poor performance. And it's very easy in that space of 2 weeks now, when you then factor in the Southend result, to get very down. But you go back to the start of January and look at that whole period of time up to now, and actually our record is still decent, and Fleetwood is the only defeat in that. Yes, the draws we would want wins, but there's still points on the board. We've got Lyle coming back, as I said earlier. We've got Joe Aribo coming back shortly as well. And you look at it like that, we get a win at the weekend and suddenly it'll all look very different. But I suppose it depends on your mentality as a fan. I tend to be fairly positive and try and see the good in the performances and the positivity. But if you just look at those last three results, it's very easy to see that and think, right, we could go on a run. And I think someone said it earlier, if we lose at the weekend, you could see things starting to drop. But I'm of the mindset personally that we'll go to the weekend, we'll get a result, a positive result, and we'll start to turn it around and start to pick up good results again going forward.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Right, Cliff Scales. I totally agree that Fosse was very poor, not the same player as last season. How he got 90 minutes, I don't know. Marshall was marginally better, but final ball's just not good enough. He's not half the player he was at Bradford. Steve Catley, Fosse has had a crap final ball since he joined, unless his final ball is a shot on target. I mean, can you remember too much about his crossing or his assists last season? I mean, he had a good assist for Ben Reeves against Gillingham and then scored that screamer just before Christmas, didn't he, Fosse? But yeah, I don't know, does he tend to create chances for other people as much as we'd hope?
That's a good question. I'd have to look back. It's not something I'd instantly remember, I'd have to be honest.
I remember last season as a very direct player. Like he'd pick up the ball and go for goal and run at goal. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what his assist stats were like from last season, if anyone had that. Right, Martin, second half, thought we were superb. We did everything but score. But for two saves from their keeper, we would have won comfortably. However, Boya's mistake was not having faith in Parker, though he changed the game with his physicality. And had he started with Igor, we would have won that game. We've got to give special mention as well to Naby Sarr. He was magnificent yesterday. And I'm telling you, if he had scored the winner, the roof of the covered end would have come off. I mean, yeah, the first bit, obviously, with Naby.
Especially if it had been that shot.
Yeah. I mean, if that one had gone into the top corner, that would have been
unbelievable.
Absolutely spectacular. You know, we said a few weeks ago at the start of this run, with Piercy out, he's got to take his chance, and he's grasped it with both hands.
I'm pleased for him, really, because he had a tough baptism at the club. And, you know, people will say about his length of contract and whatever wages he may or may not be on. That's not his fault. He can only do what he can on the pitch, and I think he suffered with confidence at the beginning, clearly. He seems to be settling in lovely now, and he's everybody's darling now, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah. It's bizarre how things change for a player. I mean, with the Parker thing, do you think he should have had faith in him? I mean, you come in and you see a winger being chosen ahead of a striker, and I mean, Bayer explained his reasons in terms of what he wanted from Marshall with his pace and getting him behind. But when you see a winger being chosen ahead of a striker, it sends a message to me. I mean, even if Parker hasn't been here that long, I mean, he's played enough games this season to be pretty much up to speed, you'd think.
Yeah, but I think Parker sent his own message with his performance when he came on. And I think I said on Thursday I would have gone with Fosu and Igor in a top two. I think off the back of Fosu's performance yesterday, maybe that wouldn't have worked out either. But I think that Parker can do at the moment when he does come on is try and change the game. And okay, we didn't score as a direct result of him, but I thought he was very good yesterday. Got himself in some good positions, and considering the scraps he was working off in terms of the balls in, how many times did he head that ball back across the box, and not just to nobody either? There was always a Charlton player there as well. Obviously forced a good save out of the South End keeper as well. I thought he looked lively and dangerous, and I think he's certainly given Boya a decision to make next week about whether he plays him or Igor alongside Lyle. But yeah, as I say, if he comes off the bench, all he can do really is try and perform well, and he certainly did that yesterday.
Right, David Nichols said, automatics always looked unlikely, but it's definitely gone now. Got to regroup and go again. It is what it is. Lyle being back will be a huge boost, and we've a better team and squad than last year, so we have a greater chance of success in the playoffs. Now, I put on Twitter asking what the Addicts could have done yesterday better. The Artful said, stayed in the dressing room maybe, but then said man of the match was Naby Sarr. Says he's an animal and will be our next legend. Right, Matt says, we didn't do enough to score apart from a Parker header and the Billick long shot. We didn't threaten much at all. Fosu and Igor had shockers. Right, Soapy Fingers getting involved. Fosu was poor, held the ball too long and seemed to not know who to pass to. Having Marshall and Igor up front was not going to work. Neither of them are match sharp, and Marshall's pace is always going to leave Igor far behind him if they were on form. Not much Boya can do. The whole team has lost confidence with the lack of informed strikers in front of them. Interesting stuff there from Soapy Finger. Right, George saying, Bauer, Taylor and Aribo all back next week for the game against Blackpool. Let's try and focus on the positives despite a few disappointing results. And we did say earlier in the show, how will you settle down now with a couple of those big names coming back in the next week, including, of course, Lyle Taylor? We're talking about his suspension situation. I mean, Bo, you mentioned it there. There is actually an amnesty in 5 games' time. So
it's a lot sooner than I thought, actually.
Yeah, if he doesn't get those two yellow cards by then he might not be quite the time bomb again that he could be. Although, again, with Lyle Taylor, I mean, he does have quite a strong booking record.
You wouldn't back against it, would you?
No. Right, Mark Skipper. Hi, Louis. Williams and Sarr stood out for me yesterday. Marshall didn't have a good day. Parker looked not too bad at all when he came on. Pains me to say it, though. I do not see us going up through the playoffs as stands and automatic looks gone now. Right, Spenny totally dominated the second half but created very little. Hopefully the Taylor-Parker partnership works, as Igor didn't do anything yesterday. Sardo was the man of the match. Good evening to Vital Charlton. Can't wait for the Blackpool game. If we can keep up the pressure like we did in the second half, then we can definitely grab a few goals with Taylor up front. And that's why, you know, for all the disappointment of that, of not finding that second goal in that second period, and we do have to remember we still were the dominant force, and teams will come to the Valley where we've won 10 out of 16 and accept the fact that they're not going to have a lot of the ball at times, and therefore we are going to be able to put them under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and I think as I said earlier, I'm not sure that the Taylor-Parker partnership will be the one. I tend to think it'd be more Taylor and Vetticelli, because I think Parker style and Lyle Taylor style may be too similar, but I hope I'm wrong, by the way. I hope either one would work, but I tend to think that he'll go with Igor at first because of his speed.
Yeah, well, we'll see over the next few weeks, I guess. Ollie says, do you still think we will get promoted? And I think Josh Parker done well. We need to give him a chance, as he was an aerial threat. I mean, so if I was to put you on the spot now, Terry and Tom, do you think we'll get promoted this season?
I think we're good enough.
Yeah.
If you're going to ask me whether it's an absolute certainty, then no, of course, because there are too many, I don't know what's the word, too many things that can and probably will go wrong between now and the end. So too many unfathomable possibilities. But if you look at the rest of the sides in the division, then yes, we're certainly as good as, if not better than, at least 22 of them.
Yeah, Tom, your feelings?
Yeah.
Yeah?
100%.
100%?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's good. Might as well call the rest of the season off. Right, Sebo saying, I think there are sides above us who have got that edge for the top two, so it might be a bit of a tough one on that front at the minute, but I think we will have another good run in time to secure a playoff place. Right, Charlton Exile, well, that was disappointing and very frustrating. Lots of effort, just not enough quality, and the South End time wasting. Ah, Josh Parker, I thought looked promising. Promotion still up for the playoffs for me. Bob Liskam, evening guys. Top two, no chance, but every chance of a playoff spot if we can keep everyone fit. Regards yesterday, I can't disagree with Boya's assessment of Fosu and Marshall. So frustrating from the both of them. Sarah, I'm not confident of the top two, but I believe we can still make the playoffs. I mean, in the words of the Charlton Live crew, no disrespect to Josh McGuinness, but we managed it last season with him as our striker, so I am staying positive. Brad, as well, on the same question, I believe we will go up this year, but I'm worried about next year. I can't understand how the club have so many contracts running out. I can give you a clue how that's happened. What are we going to do playing with seven men each week and without a manager? We're in trouble. We'll come straight back down. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing that doesn't bear thinking about.
Let's cross that bridge.
Yeah,
can't we?
exactly. Yeah, right. Undisclosed Fee FC reckon we were poor, like the look of Josh Taylor, though, referencing a little slip up in the press day on Thursday where Tony Hudd called Josh Parker Josh Taylor, which was quite funny. Right, Nathan's getting involved, even though he is officially banned from the show, but he's tweeted in saying,
was his language all right?
Well, yeah. I'm just
are we allowed
through
to read this
right
out?
Yeah, right. 2 points in the last three effing games, he says. scoring once without Taylor. It means we would have to win 11 out of 14 games, two of which could be without Taylor. That's a win rate of 78% until the end of the season. The current win rate is just 50%. So, I mean, it is some ask that we're...
he's been working too hard on that.
Yeah, yes. We're after there. Sebo says, it sounds right that we're going to have to win that amount of games. Yeah, probably does. Right, Cliff Scales, come on, let's be positive. We can do it. Yeah, positive thoughts. Hopefully that's all we need. But, yeah, that's all we've got at the moment. TFT says, no, with another decent striker, maybe an outside shot of the top two, but Roland du Châtelet has scuppered the automatics. Well, 100% Charlton says, from the BBC website, Fosu, 1,283 minutes played and just 3 assists. So I'm guessing that's this season. And, yeah, that's probably not enough, really, is it?
Well, he hasn't played a lot.
Well, he's played 1,283 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure that seems a lot compared to.
Let me get I'll get my stats website up during the Jason Pearce thing in a second.
Yeah, okay. It seems a lot more than I thought, I've got to be honest. And yeah, maybe the person who I can't remember the tweet or who it was from, who said that most of his last season's efforts were because he made the strikes for himself. Personally, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
If it works, that's fine by me. But it's when it doesn't, I guess.
Yeah, Fosu has played 1,285 minutes, according to my stats website. So just a 2-minute discrepancy and only 3 assists. So he'll be hoping for more than that before the end of the season. Aaron Roth, though, I asked if people think we can win 11 games out of our final 14. Straight to the point, Aaron just says no. So he's not feeling too confident. Right, we've still got your emails and your message boards supposed to come here on Charlton Live. I think we might just hear a little bit more from Jason Pearce. Obviously, joined Terry and Greg up on the commentary box yesterday. And Terry just asked him how close he feels he is on the way back to recovery from his injury.
Of course, the only reason you're here is because you're still recovering from the injury. How's that going? Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, it's going really positive. I trained yesterday with the team, so it was great to be back out there. Done a real tough session this morning with Lyle Taylor. And just sort of want to get back fit and get back out there.
Myself and Greg have a theory, because the only reason people tend to come up here is because they're injured. If we threaten that at the beginning of the season, that if you get injured, you have to spend time up here with myself and Greg, then I think the injury rate will plummet.
It'll go down.
Yeah, I think it will, actually.
Oh, that's not the answer I was looking for. I was fishing for compliments, that didn't happen.
No, I'll tell you at the end.
Towards the near post, good delivery. It's flicked on by Grant.
No goal. Yes! And now Taylor got the final touch. I think he's going to claim it.
Absolutely.
Bolted his header, deflected back off the post, and Lyle Taylor got a little flick. And Charlton have the lead after 25 minutes.
It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. Show's flying by this evening. We've only got about 12 minutes left because so many of you have got involved over email, over tweets, or on the Charlton Live forum as well. Plenty to say after yesterday's 1-1 draw with Chris Powell, Southend United. I should have a quick mention for Powell. It's always nice to see him back here. There's plenty of nice things. I saw him greeting old members of staff and stuff as I was leaving yesterday. But I remember when he was the manager here, he used to always, when he came down the touchline at the start of the game, he used to always greet one fella from the disabled section, the fella with like quite bushy hair. And he spotted him yesterday. He went straight over to him and gave him a big hug that he used to give him before every game. And that made my day, that did. I don't even know who that is, but he seems to be Chris Powell's sort of lucky charm or something.
Can't buy class, can you?
Yeah, no, exactly. He's a top bloke, Chris Powell. And good to see him back yesterday. Got the reception he deserved. And then we all concentrated on the football, which is what it's all about. Right, let's have a look at a couple of the emails that came in. We've got some nice DMs from Phil Cullum. He normally goes to the game and then DMs us his thoughts after, but he wasn't there yesterday. He sent me a photo of a player in Flan. I could see they were playing for Lens, and I couldn't work out Lens, whatever it's called, the French team. I was looking at the picture. I didn't recognise him at all, so I asked him, is El Hadji Bar playing for RC Lens? He said he was terrible. Just in case anyone was wondering how El Hadji Bar's getting on. Email came in from Mark White. Evening, Mark. I hope you're well. He says, I thought yesterday we controlled the game, but if Marshall and Vetekele are the answers, for the life of me, I cannot imagine what the question is. Marshall looked like tried hard, but he just can't cut it. Vetekele looks scared to get involved. A few token moves towards the ball may be understandable, given he is made of glass, but he didn't seem interested. Parker looked lively when he came on. We are looking like a good team with no end product at the moment. Taylor coming back is a godsend, but with him on 8 yellows and the rate he picks them up, we'll probably lose him for another 2 games. Still, in Boya we trust. And that's from Mark in Swanley. Cheers for that, Mark. Then Cap sent an email as well. You have to feel for Lee Boya. It felt from his interview demeanour and comments, RE Fosu and Marshall, that his frustrations are beginning to show. But what a job he has done. Limited resources, major injuries to two key players. And every time there is a light at the end of the injury tunnel, another 6-weeker occurs, or a suspension, or both. Forced to sell one of his two leading strikers without any team reinvestment, and an owner he is not even sure will sanction a cheap short-term contract. And we are top 6 despite everything. Boya, Jackson and Gallen are real Charlton legends, up there with Kerbs and Lenny, whatever happens this season. And that's from Cap. Yeah, I mean, we didn't really mention what Bo's had to say about the free agent situation. We heard him on Thursday's show saying he was looking at one, Joe Mason reason we believe it is, who, I don't know, judging by what Bowyer's saying, he sounds more likely to go to Plymouth, who've offered him a longer contract. And also, Bo said he's not even sure if Rowland will actually sanction any deal anyway.
Well, the point is that he can only spend, in terms of wages, what he's just let go. And I'd imagine Carlin and Billy Clark weren't on huge money. And so we've got Josh Parker in. Since them to have gone away, we've got Johnny Williams in, but I guess he's replaced Ward. So it just depends on how much money he's got left for salaries, and whoever comes in has got to be within that, whatever that figure is. And if the only ones out there are more money, then Mr. De Châtelet's got to say yes. And we don't expect that to be likely, do we?
Unfortunately, he's not the man from Del Monte, is he? He rarely says yes to anything good. Right, Simon Lambert, we were toothless up front without Taylor. Igor worked hard, just not the player he was and not fit still. Fosu and Marshall have no end product and hold onto the ball too long. Where has our confidence and swagger gone? Oh yeah, we sold it in the transfer window. Cheers, Roland. Although Simon does add that Naby was man of the match, he was awesome, a true baller. And then we've got another one in from Rossi as well, Albert Rossi. Says, evening Louis. Both the wingers were so poor yesterday. Fosu has bags of talent and no end product. Marshall, one of the worst crossing I've seen in a Charlton shirt. I mean, it's so difficult with Marshall as well, because like we said, he had that spell at Christmas where he hasn't been able to get the ball over the line. Yeah, he hasn't been able to hit those heights again, which is disappointing. To see. Right, Reese is saying no to automatic promotion, especially as Taylor will be out for two of those games probably when he gets his 10th yellow card. Even though he's got five games, not to get two, but everyone's still a bit worried about that, aren't they? Right, Carly Byrne, not the Carly Byrne on the forum there. So I didn't go yesterday, but I'm starting to get the feeling of predictability again. Progression will never be made whilst this club remains under the ownership of Du Châtelet. Steve Brown got it right last night on Radio London. Regardless of what happened in the transfer window with Grant, the club should have been looking to push on and improve during the window. I know some signings have been made, but we've got ourselves in with a real chance of possibly going up automatically and could have really improved the odds with some strong additions, yet the rug has again been pulled. Bowyer and Jackson deserve much better for their achievements so far. Only when this parasitic presence finally slings his hook will we be able to move forward as a football club. And it feels like we have to say that so often, doesn't it, in the last 4 years, and the tune's never changing, is it?
It's probably going to, if he stays for much longer, it's probably going to be included in the crest.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Another message board post came from Southwest. Addict says it was a highly frustrating performance. Too many creative players not turning up. Without more injuries, I think this will be the last of Marshall and Fosu we see this season. Naby was exceptional and put in the best individual performances of the season so far. With Aribo and Taylor back next week, we will get back to winning ways. And that's fingers crossed, certainly. Bristol Addict says, I hope you're broadcasting on a slight delay this evening in case the F-bomber strikes again. Luckily, Nathan's not in the building. Right, I think we should give a little mention to the women's team, although not in the happiest of circumstances. They were very much Charltoned it up this afternoon, unfortunately, in the FA Cup against Huddersfield Town, who are in the level below equivalent, the northern version of the level below. Charlton were 3-0 up with 14 minutes or 16 minutes left to go. A brace from Kit Graham and one from Charlotte Gurr. So 16 minutes left to go against Huddersfield. Then we conceded 3 goals in 8 minutes and went on to lose on penalties by 5-4. So we're out of the FA Cup. I think it was Lizard Juppy who was the unfortunate one to miss the penalty in a Charlton shirt. But that's not what we come to expect from the women's team, really, is it?
I was going to say. Or her either, because she's had a really good season so far. But I guess focus is on the league, where they've been performing very well. I'm sure they would have liked a cup run as well, but I would imagine that would be Ritesh's message from them. I know they've got a game coming up at the Valley, haven't they, against Millwall, which will be hopefully get a good crowd down here as well. And if you look at the season as a whole, they're performing, I think, way above the standard we perhaps expected of them. So frustrating to be knocked out of a cup, but as I say, back to the league and potentially pushing for promotion, which is exciting.
Yeah. I think if somebody had told them about Charlton and FA Cup before the game, they would have been completely okay with it.
Yeah, I mean the link with Huddersfield as well, obviously living on the fact that we play them in every level of football. So, I wonder if Carlin came down to. So I mean, Carlin on paper might have scored yesterday according to Huddersfield's Twitter, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet. Everyone else is saying there's an own goal. Has anyone seen it?
He was nowhere near it.
No.
All
right. So waste of money. right. looking ahead now, Blackpool, it's a big week for us, really, isn't it? So obviously Taylor back next week, Aribo possibly back, we think. Bauer, of course, will be back as well. I mean, this is now, with Taylor coming back, this is now where the season starts again. We've had this little lull. We've had this little down in the dumps couple of weeks now. It feels like forever since that last home game. And it's so easy to forget, you know, that last home game against Accrington Stanley, how good we were feeling at full time there, because it's all fallen apart since then. And now it's so important this week that they get it right on the training ground and then they do the business on the pitch next week.
Yeah, I'm probably one of the last person you're ever going to hear say it's a must win. It's something I hate saying, but we got to win that, sadly. Mm. We have, I think. Yeah.
I mean,
for many reasons.
Yeah, I mean, Boya said about the 11 games out of 14, and I can't see it now. Even when we had Carlin and Taylor, I was sort of saying I'm not sure whether the top... I was trying to think the game where I finally said we might get in the top two, I think, was Shrewsbury away, when everything was going right. We had players coming back from injury. Carlin, you know, wasn't quite linked with his move to Huddersfield at that point.
I'd slightly disagree. I think, you know, bearing in mind we've only got 2 points out of the last nine, you know, you add 7 points to our total now, and we you know, we're there or thereabouts, and then point pressure. Mm. On the top two then becomes realistic. You put point pressure on teams and they do make mistakes. And so I think had we got more points out of the last three, I think top two would have been absolutely possible.
That's what I was agreeing with.
Now, right? Obviously less so, because we're not close enough for them to think, oh, we can't slip up here.
Well, I just feel like I'm being punished for finally coming out of my shell after the Shrewsbury game and saying, actually, I think we can get in the top two. And then
yeah,
it's all
your fault. Yes.
It's all gone horribly wrong since then with Carlin leaving, with Taylor having his three-game suspension as well. But... yeah, even for the mentality of getting in the playoffs, because, I mean, if this run continues, then we'll end up dropping out of the playoffs. But obviously, hopefully, that that's going to happen. But just to make sure that it doesn't, we need to start not getting dragged into a longer run than what we're on at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that the players are coming back. I'm away on holiday, and we tend to do well when that happens. So, yeah, players coming back, it's not a bad run, really, when you look at it. As I said, you think back to the start of January, and actually our form has been very good. Yes, performances have dropped slightly, but we know the reasons behind that. It's not going to be an easy game by any stretch. They gave us a tough game up there, and I expect the same here. But it's a game that we can win, and we've been very close to winning. Obviously, we had the penalty up at Peterborough, and that would have been a different story, and we had chances yesterday as well. So I'm pretty confident. But as you say, if we do lose, it's that you start to think, right, how many is this going to be? But get a win and everything looks fine.
Especially
again,
especially because it's a team that are only 9 points behind us, but behind us nonetheless in the league table. Right, we've run out of time here on this evening's Charlton Live. We'll have a proper look ahead to the Blackpool game on Thursday. Myself, Tom and Nathan should be here on Maritime Radio, 7 p.m. or, of course, on the podcast. I have a thank you to Tom for coming in this
evening.
Cheers,
Louis.
Thank you, Terry.
See you Thursday.
Cheers, Louis. Thanks, everyone.
And thanks for listening all the way to the end of Charlton Life. We'll be back on Thursday. I've been Louis Mendes. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks for all your many messages that have kept us going throughout this evening. We always love to hear what you guys think about Charlton. And we look forward to doing that again on Thursday. We shall see you next week.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.